Do you ever step back and ask yourself what the plan is? With all the busyness, have you recently adjusted your plans and practices according to what God's priorities and purposes are for your life? This sounds like a New Year's Day message, doesn't it? I do solemnly resolve to not keep any of my resolutions. But seriously, what is the purpose and the plan for the church? And then what should be God's purpose and plan for us as a local expression of the church? How would you describe the vision of the church? Who are we? What do we do? It's been almost exactly 4 years since I last preached any messages on this topic. So we're entering a very short topical series before launching into our exposition of Acts, Luke's sequel to his gospel that we just completed. The aim of this short three-week, maybe, series, hopefully 3 weeks, the aim is to give us clarity and focus on the answer to this question: who are we and where are we going? So at the outset, I'll make this statement that I believe is true. The only vision worthy of a local church is the purpose and mission given for Christ's universal church. The only vision worthy of the local church is the purpose and mission given for Christ's universal church. What do we aspire to do? We aspire to mature in ever-increasing faithfulness to all that the Lord has commanded of us. So we must look to God's word to get to the bottom of what that is. I'm going to read to you three passages to begin this morning. And I know that's weird for us to sort of cherry-pick passages, so I promise to very briefly put them in their context, because we want you to know that this is actually how the verses are used in the context in which they were written. And the first of those that I want to read to you this morning that helps give us focus about these things from God's word is John 17, verse 3. "And this is eternal life," Jesus prayed, "that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The context for that verse is during the Last Supper discourse in John's gospel. More specifically, this in chapter 17 is what we call the high priestly prayer of Jesus, where he intercedes for his apostles and for all who will believe in him. What's the point that he's getting at here, and why am I talking about it now? Because it gets right to the heart of the gospel. The gospel is the good news that the God of the universe has offered a relationship with himself to sinful humanity through the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news that the God of the universe has offered a relationship with himself to sinful humanity through the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom a response of repentance and faith is required. Knowing him is what God made us for. And if we will know him on his terms, as he truly is, church family, many of you have heard me say this before, if we will know him on his terms as he truly is, we will fear him, his holiness and his power. We will love him in his majesty and in his grace toward us. We will trust him in his perfections and in his plans. And we will obey him, because no other response will do for the heart that has come to know him. We will fear him. We will love him. We will trust him. And we will obey him. So at the core of who we are and what we do is knowing God through faith in Jesus Christ. And the second passage I want to read to you is from 1 Peter 2:9, and you're going to see this passage and the one from Colossians. A lot of what I talk about this morning will be grounded in these two texts. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Again, as promised, the context is Peter writing a letter to the churches to offer them encouragement and courage in their suffering. He writes from his own persecution in Rome to other believers who are and will continue to suffer for the gospel. So Peter challenges the church to live with a laser focus on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ in the face of hostility. Hope in the face of hostility. That's what 1 Peter is about. In this section, more specifically, Peter uses the metaphor that we, the church, are being built up like living stones into a sanctified house that reflects the uniqueness of our Lord, who himself is what? The chief cornerstone. And what's the point of this verse? You are a chosen race, people for his own possession. Interestingly, that when Peter here talks about proclaiming his excellencies because of who we are in our relationship to God, because of who he has made us, the context is, the emphasis is on holiness. We are a people set apart for God's own possession, so we must live consistently with whose we are. In doing so, we are proclaiming God's excellencies, the virtues of his character. Often when you think of the term proclaim, you think of probably two things. You think of preaching as proclaiming, or you think of singing together as proclaiming. Well, notice that in this verse, in 1 Peter 2:9, the emphasis is actually on holy living. We are set apart to God. One of the primary goals of the church is to be set apart to God. He has set us apart, and we aim to live consistently with the virtues of his character. And then finally, the verse from Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, it says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The context is Paul's ministry in the church, and more specifically, the message that God gave Paul to preach to everyone, that through Jesus Christ, God makes himself available to the Gentiles as well, not only to the Jews. And the point is that when God has made us his own by grace through faith in Jesus, our whole being and behavior proclaims the excellencies of God, like 1 Peter 2:9, and then here especially proclaims the message of restoration to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the proclamation of the gospel. That is who we are. That is what we do. We are his. Him we proclaim. So the only vision worthy of the local church is a purpose and mission for Christ's universal church. So what can we say this morning about the purpose and mission of the church? One more time, look in your Bible at 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I don't know, but I'm enjoying reading that over and over again. Why do we exist? What is our purpose? We are his possession. That's why we exist. Here's my best effort to phrase for you in a way that's helpful to you today from 1 Peter 2:9. We exist to proclaim God's excellencies together. I would have stopped right there, but I don't want you to be confused that you just do that by singing, you know, and getting yourselves amped up. So I've added, we exist to proclaim God's excellencies together by pursuing him as our highest good, by living set apart to him, and by multiplying mature disciples of Jesus. The two primary things that probably define the church are this living set apart to him and multiplying mature disciples, but we can't do those things if we aren't first pursuing God. We exist to proclaim his excellencies together by pursuing him as our highest good, living set apart to him, and by multiplying mature disciples of Jesus. And that already really heads into a statement of the church's mission. What does God's possession do? What do we do? If we exist to proclaim his excellencies, what do we do? We live to glorify Him by our growth in holiness, to reflect who He is, and by bearing witness to Jesus Christ and then discipling His people to maturity. So you might say our focus is to be and to go, to be set apart and to make disciples. Again, Colossians 1:28, just because I'm having so much fun reading and rereading these again for you. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Here's my best aim at a statement for you this time around. We strive to know God better from the study and application of His Word, to rely on Him in prayerful dependence, to grow in faithfulness to His character and command, and to make mature disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. The key words I want you to notice, the reason I wrote it like this is to know. To know God better. To rely on God. To grow. And we'll talk about this again in weeks ahead, but you actually can't be the bride of Christ unless you are with the church. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. Here you are. You can't be the church without the church. And so we grow together. And to make. I want you to notice that the object or the aim of each one of those verbs, know, rely, grow, make, the real aim of every one of those is God Himself. If it's helpful to you to try to word these in some way that is easier to remember, you could say that our purpose is that we exist to know God and to make Him known, from 1 Peter 2:9. We exist to know God and to make Him known. And maybe a mission statement that's brief. You can tell I'm wordy and I want to fill in all the gaps, but if this helps you remember, our mission is to call all people to know and grow in Jesus. We exist to know God and to make Him known, and our mission is to call all people to know and grow in Jesus. The reason I think it's so helpful every now and again to focus on who we are, where we're going, what are we doing, what are we about. I have to do this for my family too, you know. Remember to be intentional about how God is using me as the chief servant in my home. And just to remember, okay, all these other things that we've gotten distracted by, they're not the main thing. So what are the main things? If we want to accomplish this mission and purpose, the only way we'll ever do it is by dependence on God. Because God Himself is the purpose and the power. He is the message and the means to accomplish the mission. So when we as a church talk about who we are and what we do, it's helpful for us before we try to set before us any methodology for ministry, it's helpful to ground ourselves in the glory of God as our goal. So we've called these core values, you know. You're used to organizations having these kinds of statements, purpose, mission, vision, core values, right? And I know I've been told that your core values are the things that you want to write down for yourself that you actually value, that you demonstrate that you value by the way that you behave. And so the truth is, these things that I wrote a number of years ago and the things that I want to tell you now, they're in fact things that we both actually do demonstrate as God's people that we value, but they're also aspirational. You'll see that these are things that we know for sure we need to grow in still. So here are the things that we are committed to and motivated by we're committed to and motivated by these following convictions. They ground us, and all of them are about God Himself. God's glory, our highest good and greatest joy is God Himself. Our highest good and greatest joy is God Himself. We exist on the earth to express God's glory by the transformation in our hearts and by sharing the life and love of Jesus with others. I'm going to keep going. We're committed to God's word. We prioritize faithfulness to the Bible in principle and in practice. Because it's by God's word that the Holy Spirit communicates to us who God is. And it's by God's word that He changes hearts to love and obey God through Jesus Christ. We therefore guard sound doctrine, practice expository preaching. No stones, please, even though we're not doing it today. Hey, it can still be expositional as long as we're making sure that the meaning of the text is the message that we preach. Okay? But we primarily practice sequential exposition of New Testament books, Old Testament books, because that's how they were written. So we figure that's probably the best way to teach them. And we equip believers to study and apply the scriptures. Do we do this perfectly? Check. Good job, Branson Bible Church. Of course not. It's aspirational too. But we have to put before us, this is what God desires for us to be and do. So that we will be and do what He says that we're supposed to be and do. I'll say more on that in just a second. God's mission. God is redeeming for Himself a people for the praise of His glory. That's what He is doing. Who by His grace place their trust in Christ alone for salvation, sanctification, and glorification. We resolve to be a church family focused on multiplying mature disciples then who exalt the Lord, serve the church, and spread the gospel. And how does that happen? I believe that our church follows this view that God's method is God's plan is to build His church by having local expressions of His bride working together to make disciples of Jesus from all the nations. It must be done with local churches. As one such church family, we equip believers, train leaders, and partner with like-minded individuals and entities to accomplish the Great Commission. You have permission, church, to ask your elders, hey, do you think that this would be a good idea? Do you think that this would help accomplish this mission? Do you think that this other thing is a distraction? Or can you explain to me how that meets the goal? I'll say this too in a future one of these two messages that follow up this one. If you want to be trained, go find someone to disciple you. Don't wait around for me to knock on your door. Don't wait around for someone else to knock on your door. You do it. Seek a mentor. You know, some of us might unfortunately be a little self-focused or a little distracted. Or we might have to pass you off to someone else. But whatever the case may be, either way, it's hard for us to say no when you ask. Yeah, no, I'm not into that. Sorry, too busy for you. You've seen God maturing me in my life and you want to learn something from what God is doing in my life? Yeah, no, I'm not into that. Finally, God's ministry. We aim to see every believer active in humble service for building up the church, encouraging, challenging, and providing for one another. The Holy Spirit further empowers us to be His witnesses and to do good works that draw attention to our Lord. I want to encourage you, church family, that this thing about God's ministry, that it's often said about the church that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That's not true with you. You know, 30, 40. Just kidding. Token laugh. Oh. It's possible for you to attend services and probably get away with it. But if we can help it, your fellow believers around you in our church family, we're going to try not to let that happen. We're going to try to hold you accountable. With all the things that we've covered so far, I'm reminded that God's work is most effective in us and through us when we are most closely aligned to His character and His command. Now, of course, we know that all of what God is doing in us and in other people is according to His good pleasure. But when we are in Christ Jesus, God's work in us is most effective in us and through us when we are most closely aligned to His character and His command. So how will we do these things? How will we get there? First of all, by drawing closer to God according to the instruction of His word, and by following Jesus to walk in step with the Spirit. By holding ourselves accountable first to God and then accountable to one another for the same purpose. But based on a biblical vision for the church, we, your leaders at Branson Bible Church, we do try to give you philosophy of ministry. And so here's what we've been working on and sharpening in recent years. Our ministry philosophy looks like this. Now let me say before I explain the little picture that any methodology to fulfill our mission may change from time to time, but a healthy church intentionally and zealously pursues a balanced ministry for growing in Christ's likeness and for multiplying mature disciples. Remember what I said? To be and to go. So to that end, we desire to call ourselves and others to believe in Christ, to belong to His body, to be trained in truth, and to be strong in ministry. I'm just going to explain these briefly before I close. Believe in Christ. When God gets a hold of us by grace through faith in Jesus, the power and the purpose for our lives changes. We begin to live these truths. We are His, and Him we proclaim. To keep that focus, we, our church family, we gather together regularly to unify our hearts with the Christian goal of knowing God and making Him known. I sort of think of this as like, if we had to put each of these things into like ministry buckets, when we gather together as the whole church family for big team teaching, big team exalting God, this is to make sure that we're on the right track. That's what we're doing. We're refocusing ourselves. We're making sure we're on the same page. We're unified. We obey what God has commanded of us. We practice the Lord's table and we baptize believers. So even though it may seem as if believe in Christ is the first thing that you call someone to, no, it's what we call ourselves to over and over and over again. Fear God, love God, trust God, and obey Him. And then we call ourselves and others to belong to His body. Healthy Christians are connected to the local body in order to grow in commitment to the cause of Christ. We encourage church membership and involvement in small groups, anything that we can offer for you, to provide for individuals and families, authentic relationships, for support and accountability for applying God's truth in our daily living. You do not have to belong to the body exactly the way that might seem most ideal in our church family. Does that make sense? In other words, being a part of the church, being a functional member of the bride of Christ is the goal. And so sometimes your connectedness to the local church is going to be through us. Sometimes students at the College of the Ozarks, your connectedness to the body of Christ is going to be with other students at the college. Some of you have ministry with other believers at work in the community. You see where I'm going with this? The same way that when we reach out to others, God has given you outreach opportunities that He has not given to me. And so this does not apply. Don't think of this as like a narrow description of the church family that calls itself Branson Bible Church. It is both that and it's more than that. Belong to His body. Be trained in truth. To grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, we aim to equip believers for battling the flesh, standing for Christ, and sharing their faith. We have made our best effort to, especially after COVID, trying to get back to normal. We provide classes in systematic theology and real-world Christian disciplines, and we foster mentoring relationships for leadership training. Again, this is why I want to read this to all of you. Because if this isn't happening for you, say something. Hey, Jeff. What do you mean about opportunities to be trained in systematic theology? What do you mean about real-world Christian disciplines? Mentoring relationships and leadership training. Feel free to ask. Our goal is that our Sunday school classes that we offer, that this is totally up to you, you know, that many of you choose not to stay for. Our goal with those is to train in systematic theology, to equip you in real-world Christian disciplines. It's a part of what we're hoping to do. If we have other opportunities for such things, we'll let you know. Again, I already talked about the other. Finally, be strong in ministry. God designed the church such that every member is a minister. It is our privilege and responsibility to build up the body and to share Christ with others. We aim to be sent as leaders for the harvest at home, work, school, and around the world. I'm reminded to remind you, sometimes frequently at the end of our services together, if you don't go lead the way that God has described for Christians to lead in His Word, if you don't do that this week in the circles that you're in, who will? In many of the circles that you're in, nobody else is doing it. You may be blessed to get to serve with other Christians, and maybe they're helping you, just like we're trying to do in the local church. But it may very well be the case that you are the only person leading for Christ in the environment that you're going to be in this week. If you don't stand up for Christ, who will? If you don't apply scriptural wisdom to the situations that people are facing, who will? If you don't focus on loving God first and the benefit of others to the glory of God, who will? So my last concluding slide for you today to think about is, how comfortable are you with understanding your purpose as a believer? Does this help you? Hope it does. Do you understand the church's mission? And then let me ask you, how will you do your part for us to become the church that we aim to be? Again, you might get away with attending. You might. It's not what's best for you, but you might get away with it. How will you do your part for us to become the church we aim to be? By your grace and for your own glory. Amen.